Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Oh, it's that time again for Mr. Oster. What a great show we have lined up today. He's got an incredible guest to start the festivities we'll get to in a moment. But if you're the 10th caller at 412-922-1020, you win a gift certificate to Sorgel's out there in Wexford. And also, our man Miles Stevens going to be here, Davy Tree, talking trees in about 30 minutes. But right now, it's Clay Mankiemer, and he is going to be telling you all about him and his guests right now for the first two segments. Your host, DougOster.com. Here's Doug. Hey, Doug, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. In a minute, we'll be talking to Clay Mankiemer. He is one of the founders of the Remember Me Rose Garden, which is right across from the entrance to the Flight 93 Memorial in Shanksville. But real quick, I've got a new round of virtual organic gardening classes with Farm to Table of Western Pennsylvania. It's every Thursday, 4 o'clock, absolutely free. This week we're talking about extending the season and how to save seeds. Just go to DougOster.com to register. And I still have a bunch of free Swiss chard seeds called Perpetual Spinach. If you would like them, just send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, and all the information is at DougOster.com. And now I do welcome Clay Mankiemer. He, as I said, one of the founders of the Remember Me Rose Garden. It's set to be ready for visitors during the 20th anniversary of the 9/11 tragedies. Clay is a retired state trooper who moved to Shanksville to get away from everything he dealt with in the city and was one of the first responders to the Flight 93 crash. Clay, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be with you this morning.
Tell me a little bit about that day, if you don't mind.
Well, I was watching TV, as so many others were, when the planes hit the Twin Towers. I was horrified with what was going on, but it didn't involve me here in the middle of nowhere, on the way to nowhere in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. But I soon learned when the phone service was knocked out in the area from a neighbor who said a plane had crashed near Shanksville. I had left home for work just moments before and returned to find a column of smoke that went to the sky, went up out of sight just over the hill behind my house. I arrived at the scene to find just total devastation. I had hoped to be involved in a search and rescue operation, but there was no need for that. The devastation was so complete and vast. It was just overwhelming, and my response was just to become very bitter and angry and vengeful, and dealt with all those emotions. My outlet, though, was to join the task force here locally to plan for a memorial after we found out about the heroics of the passengers and crew on board the plane, and a story that just needed to be told, a positive story. with as tragic as things were, with a positive outcome. Thousands of lives were saved as a result of the actions of the heroes on that plane. I joined the task force for the national park and planned to build a fitting tribute, but it was necessary to make everything out of materials designed to stand the test of the time, even centuries. And as beautiful as and functional as it was, something was missing. It was all hardscape. Some rose growers and hybridizers showed up at our planning sessions with the idea of putting in a rose garden at the crash site in the national park. And that was immediately rejected by the Park Service because they said it's just too high maintenance and not something they could deal with over time. The families of Flight 93 liked the idea, and they were buying up property around the park for a buffer zone to prevent commercial development. And they came to me and offered property to put in a rose garden, which we called Remember Me Rose Garden Flight 93, something with a beauty and softscape. We think of the phrase beauty from ashes. And so it made a nice alternative to the hardscape of the park, and had come along very well. We had a false start with depending just on hybrid tea roses for our main attraction there. We were hit with the rose rosette disease, and then wiped out the entire crop.
Yeah, I remember. And but boy, I'm telling you what, I was out there a couple weeks ago, and it is looking great. Talk a little bit about that main centerpiece, that compass rose that is built out of stone from the site. That is just an amazing piece there.
Well, that's part of the new start. We've gotten new life. For one thing, we research told us that the rose rosette disease that had foiled us the first go around was carried by the multiflower rose bush. It's just a briar patch with clusters of small white roses, and they declared them a noxious weed to be eradicated. And once that is taken care of, the rose rosette disease cannot be spread. So we're having a new start with planting of hundreds of roses. We just put in nearly 1,000 perennial roses, and we're expecting this week a shipment of hybrid tea roses, primarily the newly hybridized Julie Andrew roses, which now is a hardy, much more hardy species. It'll stand the elements up here on top of the mountains in Pennsylvania. We're really excited about it. It's also complemented with a design that we built from huge granite and sandstone boulders that were on the property. The stewardesses I talked to, friends of the stewardesses that were killed on the flight and acted so heroically, even trying to prevent the death of the co-captain, and for their efforts, they were worked over with the knives of these hijackers. They wanted to be a special tribute, but they wanted something that they could actually point out from 20,000, 30,000 feet in the air as they traveled with passengers over this heavily traveled air corridor. And so the response was a compass rose design, a huge circle with a water feature in the middle, a reflecting pond and a fountain, and spikes of the roses, or of the compass rose, pointing north, south, east, and west of 93 feet in honor of Flight 93, and then populated with a variety of beautiful perennial flowers, and then it's going to be accented with these brilliant pink hybrid tea roses around the center. We also have a cross plaza where the first tribute, which was a cross, was erected at Flight 93, but was rejected because of objections from the ACLU and others for using federal funds in the park. So it has found a home in the Remember Me Rose Garden and has its own elevated plaza. It too will be surrounded by both the perennials and the hybrid tea roses, and it's creating quite a bit of a excitement here in Somerset County, and I look forward to showing you and your listeners around up there and introducing them to this beautiful feature that just speaks beauty and peace out of the tremendous tragedy that took place.
I know Doug and Clay have a lot more to get to, but we got to jump in here for a break. Well said, Clay. Great stuff. And for your service with the state police, much respect and thank you for that. Doug coming back with his second segment. Still to come, Miles Stevens, Davey Trees. Hey, join us for one great weekend. Register today for the 2020 Richard S. Caligiuri City of Pittsburgh Great Race, presented by Highmark Blue Cross Blue Shield. It's happening September 25th, 26th, and sponsored by Allegheny Health Network Dollar Bank. Details at kdkradio.com. All right, back with more. Here's Doug Oster and his special guest on KDK's Organic Gardener. Hey, Doug, go ahead.
Joined again by Clay Mankemeyer, one of the founders of the Remember Me Rose Garden, which is right across from the entrance to the Flight 93 Memorial in Shanksville. It is a living memorial to the crew and passengers of Flight 93. And Clay, part of that, in the inside of that compass rose that can be seen actually right from 30,000 feet above, you could see the compass rose?
Yes, it's a landmark then for the pilots and the stewardesses to point out to the travelers on the plane and give them an opportunity to honor the sacrifices made by the passengers and their fellow crew members.
And then around the fountain, there's some very special stones placed, right?
Yes, we have some of those sandstone and granite boulders encircling the reflecting pool and fountain, and the names of each of the 40 heroes of Flight 93 will be embossed on the stones, and then behind that will be benches for people just to sit on, relax, reflect, and enjoy this beautiful water feature and the surrounding roses and perennials, and enjoy the wonderful fragrance and the beauty of our organic garden.
Yeah, it is something to see. You told me when I was out there a beautiful story about the butterfly release.
Yes, that was one of the most touching experiences that I've had through this whole venture. At the dedication of the grounds for the garden, we invited the family members of the heroes of Flight 93. And Elizabeth Wainio was one of my personal heroes. She signed off with her mother, who was begging her not to get involved with this assault on the hijackers. She signed off by saying, no, I got to go now. We're going to storm the cockpit. We had music, gentlemen singing Come to the Garden, and we released 40 monarch butterflies, thinking they were going to just take flight and go out of sight, and we'd continue with the program. Well, only one of those butterflies circled and came back to Esther Wainio, Elizabeth's mother. And through the entire program, that butterfly landed on her heart and stayed there. And I found out later that butterflies were Elizabeth's all-time favorite thing. She loved them and always got excited about them. And her mother said afterwards, you know, that that was from my daughter, Elizabeth, and in tears and put tears in the eyes of almost everybody there who heard that. It was just a really special experience for her and everybody involved.
So the Remember Me Rose Garden is all funded privately. There's no government money in this, and I've been out there for 18 years, Clay, talking to you here and there, and to no one's fault, you know, the Rose Rosette disease and other setbacks, you're ready to go. How can people help keep this garden going?
Well, you're absolutely right. There are no federal funds involved, and that was deliberately so. So that we would have a freedom there on the garden site that we couldn't have inside the park, to really tell unfettered the whole story of Flight 93 and the heroism there. And we'd like to keep that going. So we have established a GoFundMe account on the Internet. If people just search Remember Me Rose Garden, GoFundMe. They can make a contribution that will be tremendously appreciated. It's GoFundMe, GoFundMe, Rose, RememberMeRoseGarden.com.
Right, RememberMeRoseGarden.com. We've got about a minute left. What do you want people to get out of their visit to that beautiful garden?
Peace. And a feeling of love, and in contrast to the intensity of the feelings of loss and disaster that is part of the story of Flight 93 as well. But the garden is a place to have them enjoy the fragrance of these hybrid tea roses, the beauty around them, and the surety that beauty can come from tragedy. Beauty can come out of ashes, and we look forward to telling the story there to people as well, unfettered, about the Flight 93, the tragedy, but also the tremendous sacrifice and beauty that results as well.
All right, Clay, we're due for a break. Thank you very much for your time. RememberMeRoseGarden.com. Go there and help these guys out. This is a wonderful garden.
All right. Good job, guys. Well said. Listen, we're going to get a break in here, and right after the news with Rob Taylor at the bottom of the hour, Mal Stevens will be here talking trees with Davey Trees. But as always, you have an opportunity to call in and talk trees or anything in the way of gardening. DougOster.com is where you can always find out more about him. Our number is 866-391-1020. 866-391-1020. This is Rob Pratt, Sunday on Odyssey, 100.1 FM, AM 1020. KDKA.
We are joined again by our friend Miles Stevens from the Davey Tree Expert Company. Today we're talking about the right tree for the right place. What does that mean, Miles?
Well, it means taking a lot of different things into consideration. You know, sometimes some of the mistakes I've seen in people planting trees to get to be 40 foot tall under power wires, utility wires, or planting a tree that wants to get, for example, a hemlock wants to get 80 foot tall, 5 feet from their foundation. And lastly is selecting the tree that's, you know, best fit for the property, the best species, and what, you know, you really want with your property. You want a shade tree? You want an ornamental tree? What do you want? So there's a lot of things to take into consideration at times.
Yeah, definitely. And this is the start of planting season, which is exciting for me. And I've got some trees and some shrubs I want to add. But when you do go out onto a site, what's the first thing that you ask a homeowner when they're saying, you know, I want to add some trees? When you see the site, what kind of questions do you have for the homeowner?
First, I ask them, are you looking for a shade tree or are you looking for a smaller ornamental tree? How you want it to complement your landscape? What are you thinking? But first thing is just get a handle on what type of tree. The larger tree, ornamental trees, right, one of the first things I do. And then ask them where they were thinking about placing the tree. And then we sort of go from there.
Have you guys started tree planting in earnest now? Is it the right time, or should we wait a little bit?
I think you would be fine to start planting now. We haven't yet. We're going to get some more trees in from our tree farm in Ohio. And we do get utilize some local nurseries also, but once we get those in, we'll start planting. I see no reason to not start planting now. It should be cooling off. Days are shorter and easier to assist with watering. So I think right now is a fine time to get out there and start putting trees in the ground.
Well, I want to give you an opportunity to talk about your sourwood tree, because that is such, I'm so glad you turned me on to sourwood. That is such a cool native tree.
Yeah, it is. I'm looking at mine right now. I'm sitting on my deck, and it's, you know, getting the flowers that hang down or whatever. It's a great little tree. So sourwood is one I recommend from time to time. Still don't get a lot of takers, but I think eventually if people see more of them, they will enjoy it. But they're a great small to medium sized tree, which I think for a lot of homes as you get closer to the city and some of the areas that work is more ideal than necessarily looking for a large oak or something like that.
So that's interesting that you say that, because I would think it'd be the opposite. I think if Miles Stevens came to my house and said, let me tell you about this tree that I've got growing in my own yard that I love, I thought people would jump at that, but I guess it's not well known enough for people to plant it, right?
Right. It's like you try to set, you know, what I always try to do with people too, they're not sure. I mean, I can give them a picture, I can give them whatever, but it's nice if I can cite some locations they might be able to go by and see a few. And it's not easy with sourwood because there's not a lot around, you know, so that, you know, because I think, hey, go take a look at this, see what you think it would look like in your yard, because you don't want people to make a sudden decision, you know, and I think sometimes that happens in a landscape. Oh, I'll just get this tree. And 5-10 years later, they're, well, I wish I wouldn't have done that. So it makes it a little harder for me to give them locations to find, you know, such a tree.
And when we're thinking right tree, right place, certainly knowing how big that's going to get, that is critical. But also it's whether that tree wants to be out in the open with full sun,
right,
or if it's better off as an understory tree. You know, and I think, you know, our native dogwood, you know, it can survive out in brutal sun, but it would be happier in as an understory in the forest, right?
Right. Yeah. Sunshade. You know, is this like understory boundary type tree? Whatever. Sure. You want to take all those things into consideration. It's also, and it's like, once again, do you want flowering, or do you really like to look forward towards some nice fall foliage, that type of thing too, is another consideration for folks.
Okay, so I want a tree that gives me shade, that looks beautiful and ornamental, and has great fall color. Do you get those kind of questions where they want everything, like me?
Oh, yeah. We get those, and you try to come up with something, some sort of maybe some compromise or whatever. But, yeah, we get those questions, and I try to tailor things toward what they might like. You know, that's why it's, you know, one plant sort of interesting that way, I always think, is like coosa dogwood, because you get the nice white flower in the spring. But if you get a really good flower set, then the fall, you get a good fruit set. And those red hanging round little fruit balls make for a great show in the fall if that works out for you.
Well, I have to put a shout out for a tree that I'm growing. and it's actually a Rose of Sharon, but it is sterile. It is a brand new one called Sugar Tip, and it has variegated foliage and pink double flowers. And as I said, it's sterile. Can I trust that it's sterile when they tell me that, or am I going to have a million Rose of Sharons popping up in my garden?
Well, who knows? I mean, it's always like when in the past there's been talk of different, you know, native, it worked on some different native dogwoods that don't get anthracnose, and then they get out there and they do. So hard to tell till they're out in the real world, as I like to call it, and see what happens after 10, 15 years of what really happens. And, you know, hard to tell. You can put that in, but, you know, maybe down the road you'll be totally happy, and then you'll be like, how did that happen? So it can be a little tricky sometimes.
I'll give you a report. And before we talk about a couple little planting tips, let's talk about a tree that we both love. It's a native, and it's called a pawpaw tree.
There we go.
It produces, it's our only tropical fruit, and it is a native. You know, indigenous Americans ate it and taught settlers about it. You have got some trees in place. Do you have some fruit yet?
Oh, I have one lonely pawpaw fruit on my one tree. So they're relatively young. So I've been sort of keeping an eyeball on it, and it seems to be doing well. And I'm just going to hopefully wait for the right time to harvest it. But two immature trees. But this is the first year I had any flowering. And then it just was on the one tree. I'm hoping next year the other tree will have flowering, and then they'll both have flowering. Then I'll have more success. So I got one fruit, so I'm sort of keeping an eyeball on it and see what goes on.
It takes a while. Now, my trees are 23, 4 years old and 30 feet tall, and I can look up and see all that pawpaw fruit on there. You know, look up the pawpaw. You need two trees, but it is really an amazing, amazing fruit when you think about how long it's been around. And I eat them. My favorite way to eat them is the way George Washington ate them. And how is that, Miles?
Chilled. George Washington's favorite dessert was chilled pawpaw.
Real quick, what's the biggest mistake that people make when they plant a tree themselves?
Well, just from the planting aspect, they plant it too deep. See that all the time. They plant it too deep, and they over-mulch. And once again, maybe the poor site selection for the tree. But the planting too deep is, and if you look at just mulching, not creating a big enough mulch area for the plant too. You know, they put it in the ground and basically don't mulch around it maybe at all, and then it gets beat up by lawnmowers, string trimmers, and everything else under the sun. But planting too deep a lot is maybe the biggest thing that I see, and maybe not untying any of the twine on the from the burlap root ball too.
Yeah, depending if it's burlap or it's in a container. You got to make sure you see that. What do you call the root flare? And even
from the nursery,
that dirt can be up too high before you even put it in the ground, right?
Right, because what happens? I dig it a lot of times. I think there's some soil, and they sort of the soil gets thrown back onto the root ball, and so that sort of covers up that root flare. Absolutely. So when you go plant the tree, you want to you can go ahead and set it in the hole. But then you pull that burlap back and you see where exactly, the root flare is. You want to make sure that is at ground level or just maybe slightly above. And I'm not talking about 6 inches above, but an inch or two above, just slightly above the surrounding ground level. But, peel that back at the top of the root ball and make sure you find that root flare. Then that's what needs to be at or just slightly above the grade that you're planting, putting it in at.
All right, Miles, stay on the line. We're going to get right back to you after the break. For more information about Davey Tree or to ask what's going on with your trees, go to davey.com/KDKA. And remember, you can always call the experts from Davey Tree at 855-982-TREE. That's 855-982-8733.
Hey, do you know any ordinary individuals that have done extraordinary things in and around the city of Pittsburgh since the start of 2020? Nominate anyone who has significantly impacted their community in a heroic way. Now for Larry's Hometown Heroes, go to kdkradio.com for more information. Yeah, and he is with Mal Stevens, Davey Trees Talking Trees, and Mary's got a tree question, so let's get right to her on the Organic Gardener on KDK Rock Pratt Sunday. Hey, Mary, how are you? Good morning.
Oh, hi. This is Marianne. And I had a couple questions about persimmon trees. I was wondering, is it possible for them to grow to produce fruit in our area?
What do you think, Miles?
Yes. Yes, it is possible, but you need a male and a female tree. They do come as separate, so you have to have two of them. And obviously, one has to be male, one has to be female, but they can produce fruit in this area, yes.
Okay, and what kind
of site do they like, Miles?
I think they'll need full sun, somewhat well-drained soil, but I think definitely more open. You want them to get enough sunlight so you get good flower production, then you'll get good fruit production. So, very partial shade to full sun would probably be best for persimmon.
And are these like Asian or American or the meter, or do you know what kind we should get for here or for those two?
I would stick with the native persimmon. I mean, they're going to be best well adjusted to our climate. And, once again, should not have disease issues. You know, I always get concerned with non-natives having other issues, but the natives should be, not an issue. And I'm not really aware of any major problems for persimmon anyhow.
I was just looking in catalogs. Would that be called the American one then? Is that what you mean by native?
Diospyros virginiana is the scientific name. That's what you should be looking for.
Okay.
And Marianne, why persimmons?
Well, a friend has some, and she was saying how good the fruit is. And my sister lived out in the state of Indiana, and they had them and liked them so much. But my friends locally have had their tree for years. They bought it was called Meader, M-E-A-D-E-R, supposed to be self-fruitful, but they've never gotten any fruit after years. And so I was just thinking it sounded like a wonderful fruit, but, I just wasn't sure how you get one, if you were able to get fruit here, because they didn't have any luck with that.
Do you see them much, Miles? Do you see them out there? I don't know anything about a persimmon tree.
Yeah, every once in a blue moon I'll see them. They're not, another one of those, I would say they're not a common tree around here, but we're certainly within their range. You get further south, on to Virginia and through the southeast, you see them more often. But they could grow and produce fruit. I've only seen one around here producing fruit that was just, people had a small stand in their backyard. I don't know how they ended up with them. But they will produce fruit. They're just one of those trees that's just not overly common around here. But they'll certainly grow and produce fruit.
All right, 2 minutes left, Doug. All yours and Miles. Go ahead, guys.
All right. Well, first off, Miles, I just want to thank you for being part of the show. And for people that are looking for help, remember that a certified arborist like Miles will come out for free to look at your property and tell you what's going on. Don't try and figure things out on your own. You've got an expert that can come, and if you're interested in having them come, just go to davey.com/KDKA, and the phone number to call them is 855-982-TREE. That's 855-982-8733. And, Miles, I give that phone number out just about every day of the week when people are looking for tree work. So thanks again for coming on. I am answering questions after the show. If you didn't get through, just go to DougOster.com. Giving away free Swiss chard seeds. You can see that, how to get those at DougOster.com. And I have a new round of virtual free organic gardening classes with Farm to Table of Western Pennsylvania every Thursday at 4. Remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
All right, Doug, let's tell them about what we're going to do Tuesday night. We got about 30 seconds left. It's Tuesday night at
6. Yeah, we're going to talk all about fall gardening. There is so much to talk about also. We're planting vegetables like that Swiss chard seed, but also plants, seeds of vegetables, shrubs, trees, perennials. We're going to talk all about the right way to do it. And as always, Rob and I are going to have a ball on Tuesday at 6 o'clock.
All right, sounds good, Doug. Look, have a great day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.